This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Live in Times Square, this is Good Morning America.
Good morning, America. It's great to walk on some sunshine on a Sunday morning, right?
We certainly are.
Yeah, so we've got a lot to look forward to this morning. More on that Taylor Swift challenge, and we've been discussing this, getting into the details.
We're hoping someone explains to us what it is.
Exactly, yeah. My daughters are going to explain it to me later. And, of course, we're also excited to reveal those travel deals, plus a preview of the NBA playoffs just getting underway this weekend. ESPN's Malika Andrews is joining us.
A lot to get to. Also, country singer Morgan Wallen, known for hits like Last Night and Wasted on You, making his first comment since being arrested for throwing a chair from a rooftop bar in Nashville.
But we are going to begin here with that $95 billion package of aid for Ukraine, Israel, and other U.S. allies. The House passage follows months of intense political battles on Capitol Hill. ABC's Jay O'Brien has been on the Hill for all of it, and he's back there now with this major development. Good morning, Jay.
Gio, good morning. The Senate says it's going to start taking up this package on Tuesday, and it's expected to pass there. But it got out of the House with the support of Democrats, and that has teed up a political showdown between Speaker Johnson and members of his own party.
This morning, a $95 billion foreign aid package, including assistance for Israel and Ukraine, moving on to the Senate after dramatically passing the House. Speaker Mike Johnson putting his job in jeopardy to get it through.
The bill is passed.
The package includes $60 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan, plus legislation to force a sale of TikTok from its Chinese parent company or face a possible ban in the U.S.
You do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may.
The speaker angering hardline Republicans who said they wanted a border security bill passed first. But those same GOP lawmakers rejecting a bipartisan border bill weeks ago in the Senate under pressure from former President Trump. Some Republicans irate the speaker turned to Democrats to get this package over the finish line. Democrats waving Ukrainian flags when aid for that country passed, but more Republicans voting against Ukraine aid than for it.
This is the third betrayal by Mike Johnson.
He's done.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't immediately call for a vote to oust Johnson, but joining with two other members to advance a motion to remove the speaker.
Are you concerned that what you're doing could throw the House into chaos?
The House is in chaos. Part of the reason we're doing this is to get us back out of chaos.
But a majority of Republicans not backing Green's efforts to topple Johnson.
And replace him with who? Somebody tell me who you're going to replace him with.
Meantime, Democrats signaling, if needed, they're open to voting to save Johnson after he risked the speaker's gavel for what he said was the right thing.
Getting behind this long-stalled aid was a big concession for Johnson. He had held it up for months, and one lawmaker says the night before he made his decision, he told confidants he wanted to be on the right side of history. Whit.
Quite a weekend at the Capitol and a busy week ahead. Jay O'Brien for us, thank you. And leaders overseas are also reacting to this U.S. foreign aid package as Israel launches new strikes in southern Gaza. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Tel Aviv with the latest. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Whit. Yeah, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu tweeting out his thanks after the House approved that additional military aid for Israel. Meanwhile, the Israeli military conducting strikes around the city of Rafah in southern Gaza, killing 13 people, including 9 children, say local health officials, taking the total death toll in Gaza to more than 34,000, according to Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry. And this weekend, a separate Israeli military operation over in the West Bank. Israeli security forces conducting a deadly raid near the city of Tulkarem, killing 14 people and causing widespread damage to local infrastructure, according to Palestinian officials. The IDF saying it killed 10 terrorists, arrested 8 suspects and confiscated weaponry in a 40-hour counter-terrorism operation. Thousands of Palestinians have been arrested and hundreds killed during Israeli army operations in the West Bank since the war in Gaza began. Palestinian officials calling a general strike across the occupied West Bank today in protest at the raid. Gio.
And we know you'll be there. Tom Soufi-Burridge, thank you so much. Now to that horrifying scene at a children's birthday party. A brother and sister killed and more than a dozen injured when a car driven by a suspected drunk driver came crashing through. ABC's Ike Ajachi is here with more. And Ike, such a tragedy here.
That's right. Good morning, Gio. This was a highly chaotic scene filled with children and parents celebrating a birthday party. Now, several people are left fighting for their lives.
We have a four-year-old trapped underneath the vehicle.
Overnight, tragedy in Monroe County, Michigan. A vehicle crashing into Swan Boat Club, continuing 25 feet into the building, hosting a child's birthday party.
Unfortunately, in tragedy, two of the victims were pronounced deceased at the scene. This includes an 8-year-old female and a 5-year-old male, who are siblings of each other.
New video footage capturing the horrifying final moments as the car speeds past. A loud crash is heard.
Vehicle went through the building. It's a child's birthday party. We have several people on the ground, as well as several children injured, possibly one pinned underneath the vehicle.
First responders describing the scene as extremely chaotic, with high levels of emotion. Aid was rendered to 15 victims at the scene. 6 adults and 3 children rushed to hospitals with life-threatening injuries. At least 2 children, who were siblings, ages 8 and 5, died at the crash scene.
The 66-year-old female driver of the vehicle, who will not be identified at this time, has been taken into police custody for operating while intoxicated, causing death.
Now, police say that driver, again, was a 66-year-old woman who was taken into custody and charged with operating a vehicle while intoxicated and causing death. Additional charges are expected to be brought against her. Guys.
Just an awful story, and we're thinking about that family and those kids. Ike Ajachi, thank you. Turning now to opening statements just a day away in former President Trump's criminal trial in New York. He's fighting charges of falsifying business records. ABC's Mary Alice Parks joins us now with a look ahead. Mary Alice, good morning.
Yeah, well, good morning. The former president has not been able to control a lot of his schedule with this New York case moving forward. And overnight, he also couldn't control the weather.
We want everybody there to be 100% safe.
President Trump overnight forced to cancel a campaign rally in North Carolina because of severe weather.
There seems to be some thunder and lightning, and it's a pretty big storm.
He promised the crowd he would reschedule, but his options limited. Tomorrow, he can't take a rain check on court. He is required to be back in New York City to face a jury of his peers. Opening remarks set to begin in that hush money case. A full 12-person jury with 6 additional alternates sworn in, a historic criminal trial of a former president. At hand, whether Trump illegally falsified business records to keep allegations of an affair with porn star Stormy Daniels out of tabloids ahead of the 2016 election. He denies having an affair with Daniels. After opening statements, prosecutors will call their first witness. Prosecutors so far refusing to say publicly who, arguing he or she could immediately face attacks from Trump. The judge agreed. Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, could be called, or even Stormy Daniels, the recipient of the alleged payment. There's also David Pecker, former CEO of American Media, Inc., publisher of the National Enquirer, who could, in theory, speak to catch-and-kill schemes used to bury negative stories about Trump. Now, former President Trump denies all allegation and currently claims he, too, will take the stand. Now, while Trump will be in the courtroom this week, President Biden will be hitting the campaign trail. He has a major speech on abortion planned for Tuesday in Florida. That's 1 week before a new strict abortion ban is set to take effect there in that state. Janae.
All right, Mary Alice, thanks for that. Now let's bring in ABC's Jonathan Carl, who will be hosting this week later today. And John, I want to start exactly where Mary Alice left off. How do you see this trial impacting the presidential race with Trump in the courtroom and Biden on the campaign trail?
Well, look, I think we don't really know fully how this is going to impact the campaign, because we don't know the effect it's going to have on Trump's psyche and on his behavior. I mean, he has to be in that courtroom 4 days a week. Court's not in session on Wednesday, but 4 days a week, hour after hour, unable to leave. His only real moments to take advantage of the attention is during those breaks or before or after, when he can go to that camera in the courthouse. What I expect, Shanae, is he's going to use that to go on the attack, I think, with increasing vigor on Biden and on his political enemies But it's a very strange scene to see politics playing out literally inside a courthouse.
It is fascinating, John. And to that point, because you would think, like, Trump, he is stuck in the courtroom. He is not in control. However, he is at the top of the news cycle, so he is still top of mind for so many of us as this is going on. All right, turning to Congress now. The foreign aid package finally approved by the House. Hard right Republicans putting pressure on Speaker Johnson. He had to rely on Democrats who rescued the bill. What is that? How is this all breaking down for him?
First of all, take note of what an amazing moment this was in the House of Representatives. Funding for Ukraine and the other measures approved overwhelmingly. I mean, this was an overwhelming bipartisan show of support, yet it took months and months to happen, and the Speaker of the House may lose his job as a result. I think that you have a new dynamic in the House of Representatives where Johnson, to keep his job, is going to have to do what he did with Ukraine, which is rely on the support of Democrats. I don't really think we can fully appreciate what that means going forward because he is no longer really entirely the Republican Speaker of the House. Yesterday, at least, he was the Speaker of the House.
Well, and that is something that we certainly haven't seen a ton. But, I mean, if it comes down to a Marjorie Taylor Greene saying that he needs to be ousted, she says she's getting other Republicans on her side, he could have to rely on Democrats to keep his job, ultimately.
I mean, look, there's no doubt of that because, you know, she has only three people that have signed on. But Johnson can only afford to lose a single vote if it comes to a vote on removal. So at this point, he is going to have to rely on Democrats. Right now, Democrats are giving him high marks. They appreciate what he did in defying his party. And we've heard from Hakeem Jeffries on down words of appreciation for the Republican Speaker of the House. Even Nancy Pelosi, you heard, say that she trusts Speaker Johnson, at least right now. So he's going to need that. He's going to need that trust. And again, I think that changes the dynamic in the House.
A fascinating way that we have seen the bipartisanship coming to fruition on Capitol Hill. John, real quick, while we have you, you have a sit down with retired Supreme Court Justice Breyer. How was that, him talking about the current state of the Supreme Court?
Well, look, we had Breyer right here in the studio with us. I think a first for a sitting former Supreme Court justice. He has some very interesting thoughts about politics and the court.
Very interesting. That's quite a tease, John. We are going to be tuning in for that. Thank you. And make sure to tune in to This Week Later. John speaks with two key House members after the critical votes on foreign aid, Republican Mike McCall and Democrat Ro Khanna. Plus, as we just discussed, John sits down with retired Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer to discuss the changing court and his new book. Very interesting perspective, all coming up on This Week.
All right, Janae, and speaking of the Supreme Court, we've got three major cases this week before the court dealing with abortion rights, homelessness, and presidential immunity. ABC's Devin Dwyer is in Washington with more on this. Good morning, Devin.
Hey, good morning, Gio. It's the last week of oral arguments in the Supreme Court's term, and it will be historic. Tomorrow here at the Supreme Court, the biggest case on homelessness in 40 years. At issue is, can cities punish people, homeless people, who sleep outside? We're talking about tickets, fines, jail time, possibly for people camping in public parks. A growing number of cities are using laws to crack down on those homeless encampments. But is it cruel and unusual punishment when people have nowhere else to go? The case could have sweeping implications for cities nationwide as they grapple with a surge in homelessness. On Wednesday, the court will take up, for the first time since overturning Roe versus Wade, the scope of a state abortion ban, specifically whether hospitals have to allow abortion access to women in emergency situations. And on Thursday, the biggest case of the week, perhaps of the term, a landmark case on presidential immunity. Can prosecutors bring criminal charges against former President Trump for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election? Obviously, huge stakes in that case, and decisions in all of these cases are expected by the end of June. Whit?
Jam-packed schedule at the High Court. Devin Dwyer, thank you. Now to the surging demand and short supplies of some weight loss drugs. ABC's Morgan Norwood is here with the details on that. Morgan, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Whit. That's right. These weight loss drugs, you know, they've exploded in popularity, so much so that drug makers simply can't keep up with the demand. Now, the shortages, they are at an all-time high, and your drugs like Wegovy and Zepbound, well, they may be a little hard to come by over the next few months through at least June. I do want to start with Zepbound because according to the FDA's shortage database, Most doses have limited availability. However, the lowest dose of Zepbound is readily available as patients typically start there and then work their way up to your higher doses. Meanwhile, only the highest dose of Wegovy is available, with remaining doses now in short supply. Its manufacturer says that they are working to increase production capacity and hope to increase supplies. Same for Eli Lilly. But your weight loss medications aren't the only drugs in short supply. There are more than 300 active medication shortages, including some for cancer, chemotherapy drugs, ADHD, even emergency medications. The number of shortages this year at its highest since officials started tracking. Guys.
All right, Morgan, thank you so much. Let's turn, get a check of the weather. Samara Theodore is here. Still waiting on spring in some places, and they're getting the hail.
Yes, they are. The storms was storming yesterday down in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Storm and Norman used to be Janae's nickname. Did you know
that? Yeah. That's so cute. Yeah. I love that. All right, so in Rock Hill, South Carolina, we saw softball-size hail, guys, with these storms yesterday. The same line of storms brought heavy rain to parts of Texas. This is just north of Tyler, Texas. Cars were stalled out in Lindale as a result. Now, we're off to a really quiet start this week, but things change. By Thursday and Friday, strong storms are getting ready to move through the heartland on Thursday, Friday arriving in the Midwest. Here's a look at the severe potential we have and where it's laid out. So on Thursday, we could see it in Dodge City, Oklahoma City, down towards Wichita Falls. Meanwhile, it shifts farther east on Friday for Missouri, parts of Iowa, and Illinois there. So keep that in mind for your Thursday and Friday. All right, so we got Stormin' Norman, yeah. Windy Witt. What are we going to give Geo?
Windy
Witt. Gale,
they always called me Geo Metro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the car, remember the car?
Oh,
Geo Metro?
Oh, I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I like okay. that. Yes.
Windy Witt. We got to think
about it. No. We got to find something.
What kind of wind are we talking about?
We got to find something that rhymes with witty.
Okay.
That's it.
You know what? On to the next story.
Thank you.
All right. Now to Taylor Swift's record-setting double album with fans rising to her Fortnite challenge. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is going to explain to us old folks here what that means. Jacqueline, good morning.
Yes, Janae, good morning to you. Look, we have to give the people what they want, which is Taylor Swift answering your question. A fortnight, it's a British term meaning 2 weeks. So basically, Taylor posted a video showing this compilation of her life, and now she's asking fans to do the same.
Taylor Swift continuing to ride high after dropping her surprise double album, The Tortured Poets Department, on Friday. And for a fortnight there, we were her 11th studio album, smashing records, the first in Spotify history to have over 300 million streams in a single day. In less than 12 hours after release, it was the most streamed album in a single day. Her video Fortnite featuring Post Malone racking up more than 18 million views in 24 hours. Taylor posting on Threads for the first time about the album, saying, "This writer is of the firm belief that our tears become holy in the form of ink on a page. Once we have spoken our saddest story, we can be free of it." And trending right now, the hashtag for a Fortnite challenge. Taylor first posting a quick montage of her life lately. Now, Swifties responding in kind with their own videos accepting the challenge. And for a fortnight there, we were forever running to you sometimes. Ask about whoever now you're in my backyard. Turn into good neighbors, your wife. It's fun, right? Post Malone posted on Instagram calling Taylor a once-in-a-lifetime artist, writing, "I am floored by your heart and your mind, and I am beyond honored to have been asked to help you on your journey." Guys.
Post Malone has been on
He's like Mr. Albums. Compilation these days.
He's everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know if I should. My Fortnite challenge would be very boring for people. It's like taking dogs out to the bathroom and, you know, washing dishes.
Wait, people like that.
Yeah,
people
do they?
Love dogs.
Okay, all right.
Jacqueline, do not.
I'll get right on
up.
It.
We don't need the dad.
You'll get it in a
social
Fortnite.
Media compilation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Still coming up here on TikTok, what Washington's. Still coming up here on Good Morning America. What Washington's possible TikTok ban could mean for the app's 170 million users in the country.
And country star Morgan Wallen speaking out ahead of his court appearance on felony charges after that alleged chair-throwing incident.
And the trendy travel destinations to know about before making your summer plans. We'll be right back. We'll be back in less than a fortnight. Less than a fortnight.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to GMA on this Sunday morning. You. There we go. Go ahead, sing it. Sing it, Janae.
Slow it down.
Yeah. That's the Spice Girls featuring Janae coming together to celebrate Posh Spice or Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday at a champagne bash in London. About 100 guests are said to have attended the black tie affair. One of them, of course, was soccer star Victoria's husband, David Beckham.
What a fun party.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were such a Spice Girls fan.
Are you kidding?
Really?
Growing up, I always had to play Scary Spice with my friends.
What was my Spice?
I love the Spice
Girls. What was the Spice Girl name you came up with for me again? What was it? Old Spice.
No Spice?
Oh. Old Spice, yeah. Old Spice. Thank you for that.
All Old right. Spice, No Spice.
Now let's take a look at some of the other big stories that we're working on this Sunday morning here. Happening right now, firefighters responding to a house explosion in Baltimore overnight. The explosion causing a 2-alarm fire. Authorities say one man was injured and taken to the hospital, but thankfully with non-life-threatening injuries.
Also right now, thousands of people have been evacuated from their homes in Indonesia after a mountain of volcano has erupted at least 3 times since Friday. Scientists fearing the dangers of ash, falling rocks, hot volcanic clouds, and the possibility of a tsunami.
And more than 50,000 runners are taking part in today's London Marathon. That's a record number of participants for the 43-year-old race. And speaking of records, Olympic champion Kenyan runner Perez Jepchirchir won the women's race in a nail-biter between the top 4 female runners while making a final sprint for the finish line. That's incredible. She breaks the world record in the women's only race with a time of 2 hours, 16 minutes, 16 seconds. That is so fast for a marathon.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right, we start this half hour with a closer look at how the clock may be ticking for TikTok in America, with efforts on Capitol Hill that would require its Chinese owner to sell its stake in the popular social media network or be banned in the U.S. ABC's Zoreen Shah is here with more. Zoreen, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Whit. Yeah, the big question is, what does this mean for the average user? Some TikTok-only users might start expanding their brand to other places, especially if you're one of their e-commerce sellers. But right now, all eyes are on the Senate to see if they make that big move on one of the biggest information platforms in America.
Rest in peace, TikTok.
This morning, time could soon be up for TikTok as we know it.
The clock would begin ticking when Congress passes the bill.
A bill passing the House overnight that would give ByteDance 1 year to divest from TikTok before app stores start blocking access. It's just slightly different from the TikTok bill, which passed the House last month and was never taken up in the Senate.
It would be very sad if it went away.
If the law is signed, ByteDance would have a year to find a U.S. buyer.
Very few people have the money to be able to do this, so I would say the big names that would come to mind that could afford to buy TikTok would be all the big tech companies.
If the Chinese finder does not find a buyer, the app would face a nationwide ban. They could also likely try challenging the law in court using a First Amendment argument. These types of potential challenges could delay Congress's 12-month sell timeline or block the law altogether. All of this is enough for the platform's 170 million U.S. users to be on edge.
Now, what does that mean for us creators? We're searing our other platforms.
But mom Allie Murray, the director of the American Parents Coalition, says she is relieved that steps are taking place.
I think this is a really great step in the right direction. Kids are being served content about eating disorders and self-harm and glorifying these things.
Okay, so this latest bill would still have to pass the Senate and get the president's signature to become law. But the chair of the Senate Commerce Committee, she has already said that she is pleased and that she supports this version of the bill. Janae.
A lot waiting to see what happens there. Zoreen, thanks for that update. Now to country star Morgan Wallen breaking his silence following his arrest on felony charges for throwing a chair off the roof of a Nashville bar. ABC's Rena Roy joins us with those details. Rena, good morning.
Hey, Janae, good morning to you. That's right. Well, look, this is not Wallen's first run-in with the law. And as you said, these are felony charges we're talking about. Now, for the first time, we're hearing what he has to say about the incident.
This morning, country music singer Morgan Wallen speaking out after he was arrested for throwing a chair from a rooftop bar in Nashville. Wallen posting on X saying in part, "I'm not proud of my behavior and I accept responsibility." Last night we let the liquor talk. The 30-year-old is one of the most successful artists in the music industry, with smash hits like Last Night and Wasted on You. Wasted on You. You can see him here earlier this month after he was booked on 3 counts of felony reckless endangerment and 1 count of misdemeanor disorderly conduct.
He's had at least 3 strikes now. There was the incident where he got temporarily banned from Saturday Night Live back during the pandemic. Then there was the racial slur incident.
Back in 2021, he was caught on video filmed by a neighbor using a racial slur while speaking to a friend after coming home from a night out. Then taking to Instagram Honestly, to apologize.
The natural thing to do is to apologize further and just continue to apologize.
And speaking with our Michael Strahan.
Even when you're drunk, there are certain things you do and you don't do. What made you think that the word was ever appropriate to use?
I'm not sure. I think I was just ignorant about it.
Now, Wallen will be back in court on May 3rd. That same day, he has a concert scheduled in Nashville as part of his One Night at a Time tour, which he says will not be affected by this latest incident. Guys.
All right, Rena, thank you so much for that. Time now for the weather. Let's bring back Samara Theater now. So, okay, so we got Scary Spice, Old Spice, No Spice. Which Spice are you? Deer Spice, Deer Spice.
Deer Spice, right yes, Deer okay. Spice. I could not think of one. I'm going to have a really good one. But I did come up with Wintry Wit. What about that?
Sure, okay. Ooh, okay.
Wintry Wit.
I prefer summer, but that's all right.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? Okay. I just can't get it right. Okay, so here we are. Wintry Wit was in full effect yesterday in Evergreen, Colorado, where snow totals were between about 4 and 6 inches. In the mountains, they received over 1 foot of snow there. But look at this whiplash they're in for in Denver. My goodness, tomorrow, temperatures upper 70s by Wednesday, 80 degrees. Oklahoma City, pretty warm as well. Tuesday, around 80. Meanwhile, in the upper Midwest, parts of the Ohio Valley, we have freeze alerts in place. The chill really setting up shop. Buffalo feeling like, or will be, 34 degrees Monday morning. I have been thinking, pining over this. I feel like curry spice, because I love curry.
Okay,
like
sure. Spice.
I don't know. Okay, I'm going to come up with something better. I'll be back.
That's good. Well, you can keep curry spice for a little bit. Thank you, Samara. Coming up here on Good Morning America, summer travel trends and the allure of some destinations off the beaten path.
And welcome back to GMA and the look at the places that Americans will be traveling this summer. It's not all about fun in the sun, and ABC's Will Gans is already thinking beyond the beach. Hey, Will, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gio. Beyond the beach, maybe, but I'm never going to go too far without the hotel slippers. I love these things. All right, get this. Domestically, flights are down 5% compared to last summer, and hotels are down even more than that, 7% year over year, which is why I'm keeping it cozy at a hotel in Dallas this morning. But don't worry, there's good news for international travelers, too.
Mamma mia, here I go again.
What if I told you that Meryl Streep's Grecian getaway from Mamma Mia might be more attainable than you thought?
Just one look and I can hear a bell ring.
According to Hopper, flights to Europe have fallen 10% from last year to $882 on average. With hashtag travel racking up 43.3 million unique posts on TikTok, where exactly are this year's trendiest travelers headed? Condé Nast Traveler says this summer, coolcationing is in. After last summer's record high temperatures, this year folks are booking coolcations in more temperate locations like Iceland, Scotland, and Scandinavia.
Places like Sweden and Norway, which have traditionally been very beautiful that time of year, long days, cooler temperatures, places like Patagonia in Chile.
If coolcationing is too posh for your inner sporty spice, if you wanna be my lover, you have got to give sports tourism a try. Airbnb reporting that host cities like Paris and Munich are trending ahead of the summer games and the European football championships. And travelers aren't forgetting their kids this summer either. Searches in Airbnb's play category more than doubling as families look for amenities like basketball courts, game rooms, trampolines, water slides, and more. And a final tip, consider these destination dupes or duplicates to spare the big crowds and the hefty price tags.
Japan's been extremely popular this year. A dupe, maybe alternative consideration would be South Korea. Fascinating culture, incredible food, super welcoming culture. And maybe even instead of going through Northern Europe, consider Finland or Estonia, Lithuania. Beautiful countries again, and super pleased to see those tourist dollars come through.
And a classic tip to keep in mind, if you can travel during shoulder season, which is April to May or September to October, do that, you'll save big. Plus, something I never thought of, the locals will be back from their own vacations when you get there, which will give you a more authentic experience, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the shoulder season, it's all about the shoulder season.
All about the shoulder yes, season. Yeah. Okay, wait, real quick, Will, if you were a Spice Girl, what would your name be? We know you're prepared.
Pumpkin Spice, baby. 365 days a year.
Oh,
Pumpkin
wow.
Spice.
Ooh, that's
okay,
good.
I like it. Pumpkin Spice.
We love that.
Will Gans, as always, we appreciate. Also appreciate the retro telephone next to you, the hotel keeping it old school.
Enjoy seeing like your it. Family before you come back.
There you, he doesn't know how to work that thing. See you, Will. All right, coming up on Good Morning America, we are looking at the NBA playoffs. ESPN's Malika Andrews with some predictions.
Ready for his 200th MVP. James penetrates, draws the foul.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So, if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast, now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.
Welcome back here on GMA with the first round of the NBA playoffs already underway. ESPN's Malika Andrews joins us from Los Angeles with a look at the teams and the players to watch. Malika, good morning to you. It's great to have you.
Good morning. I am so happy to be here with everybody. Looking forward to the NBA playoffs continuing today.
You got it. And so let's go ahead and start in the East because beyond the Boston Celtics, the competition seems wide open here. How do you see things unfolding?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, with injuries to Giannis Antetokounmpo, the superstar from Milwaukee, Joel Embiid in Philadelphia, Jimmy Butler, who had the Miami Heat in the finals just last season, I'm looking at the team that is in the city that you all are in right this moment, the New York Knicks. Jalen Brunson, he is going to get MVP votes this year. He is trying to will the Knicks into the conference finals for the first time since Y2K. But let's be clear, the Boston Celtics, they are 14 wins better than anybody else in the conference, so I certainly expect them to get out of the East here.
Okay, so, but the thing is, injuries have been a significant concern for several teams in the East. Who should fans keep a close eye on?
You know, I'm keeping a close eye on Giannis Antetokounmpo, the two-time MVP from the Milwaukee Bucks. He missed the end of the regular season with the calf injury that you're seeing right now. He is not going to be playing in game one against the Indiana Pacers today. But the thing is, he is a super healer, so never say never. But if the Bucks are not able to beat the Pacers in this first round, that would be a major upset for Milwaukee here.
All right, Malika, let's go to the West now, because we have that highly anticipated rematch from last year's conference finals between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Yep. What can we expect there?
Yes, you have LeBron James, the best player for the better part of the last two decades, one of the greatest of all time, versus Nikola Jokic, the current best player in the NBA. And let me just be clear, the Denver Nuggets are so dominant. After last night's win, they have beat the Lakers nine straight times, stretching over two seasons. But every game has been close. That's what's been so very exciting about watching these games. The Denver Nuggets are just so good. They're looking to become the first back-to-back champion since the Golden State Warriors in 2016 and 2017. I expect it to be Denver versus Boston in the finals here, guys.
Okay, wow. Great series to watch there. All right, you've already dropped a few names, but we know that the rosters are very star-studded here. So are there any other players that fans should keep an eye on?
You know, I'm looking at Anthony Edwards, the young star of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He told me just this week that he thinks that in the next two or three years, he could be the best player in the NBA. And you know what? If game one, his preview against the Phoenix Suns, which already has future Hall of Famers like Kevin Durant in it, I think that he could be well on his way. He was looking like the best player in that series. You know, he is such an electric, athletic player. He dunks the ball at just an insane rate. Plus, he has a little bit of fun trash talk to go with it. So come for that. Stay for a little bit of the fun jarring that you hear back and forth on the floor. He is quickly becoming a fan favorite here.
Oh, that sounds just like GMA. Stick around for the trash talk. Come for the fun. Thank you so much, Malika.
Mostly
you were fantastic. And you can catch the NBA countdown at 12:30. Then it's the Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics, followed by the Dallas Mavericks versus the LA Clippers, all right here on ABC. And stick around. We'll be right back with our play of the day.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
What a great Sunday it's been, huh?
Yeah.
Good weekend.
We got our spice cabinet all sorted.
Oh, we got the whole thing. What? Wait, you came up with a new one.
Seasoning.
Season spice.
Season spice.
Season spice. Bye, everybody.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.